This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. The organization recently released the results of a survey of Albemarle County residents, which probed attitudes on how well the county is doing to preserve rural land and fund infrastructure. The results of the survey are available at civiltomorrow.org/survey. Coy began the interview by asking Brian to list some of the results. 56.2% of respondents said they would support a modest increase in local taxes to support priority transportation projects.
Now, roads traditionally have been the responsibility of state government, but still a government responsibility. And the citizens we talked to in these focus groups were very concerned about infrastructure not being in place to support new development. The other concern we heard was that citizens didn't really think their elected and appointed officials were giving them adequate response to their concerns. So when citizens came forward with legitimate concerns, they didn't think they were getting an appropriate response from local government. That, because we saw that in the focus groups, that informed this telephone survey that we did. Those are the results we released yesterday. So we did a survey in June.
So there were two big parts to the survey, the original focus groups.
That's right.
To bring all these different types of voting citizens in the same room and talk the issues. And that led to the big telephone survey where you actually called up a whole bunch of people
and asked specific questions
about growth and development and public policy and local government, that kind
That's
of thing.
That's right. And because of the focus group feedback, we expanded our approach and said, hey, we really need to ask some questions about transportation. Are people willing to pay more in taxes for transportation? What do people think about some of these policies like phasing in the rural area, setting a schedule for development rights? And so we got more specific in the telephone survey. We interviewed in the telephone survey over 1,000 Albemarle County voters. And
which is a lot of people for a telephone survey.
That gives you an...
As far as telephone surveys go, that's a lot of people.
The county typically does about 700 when they do their biennial citizen survey. We did 1,000. We were looking for plus minus 3% on the accuracy, and that's what we ended up getting in the survey. And so it was a great process to go through. Again, our goal was to get an in-depth understanding of what the public's thinking about these issues. Our goal now is to share those findings with the public. It's the report is available online at civiltomorrow.org/survey. The public can download a copy there. But our goal is to get these ideas out there to make sure that that some of the ideas are on the table and that our elected officials are looking at all the options. Now, Charlottesville Tomorrow, though, is not a group that's going to advocate for any one particular policy or decision. That's not our role. We see our role as getting the information out there so people can come up to their own decision about this.
And say that again, because there's some people out there, even in the news media, who think you're a podcast group. They're not quite sure what Charlottesville Tomorrow even is.
Well, I think we're a different kind of organization that there probably aren't too many of in the country, to be quite honest. We do podcasting. We do vodcasting with video. Tonight, we'll be doing both those things at the Albemarle County Planning Commission meeting. And the reason we do that is that audio is not available any other way unless you go there. The video, nothing is videotaped in Albemarle County. The city has the benefit of being on cable and local access TV. So we try to fill the gaps in some way and make it, you know, be like a C-SPAN on television and cover these local government meetings that other people wouldn't necessarily go to and get that information out there. So in a lot of ways, we're a new media organization, breaking stories on our blog, putting the audio out there. But at the same time, we want to be about doing research and going in depth, getting an understanding of these issues, and then getting that information in the public domain so we can all make better decisions.
Well, I do know that the very best news story that I saw, and they'll have to forgive me back in the WINA newsroom, but the best news story that I saw about the darn sinkhole on 29 was from Charlottesville Tomorrow, because you actually had a whole video report about the sinkhole, and you really explained exactly what was going on and why it was such a problem and why it kept coming back. I didn't really even understand it, really. the nuts and the bolts of the problem until I watched that video report on Charlottesville Tomorrow. I wasn't getting it from 29 or any of the papers, even WINA. I sort of got little pieces of it, but you all put all those pieces together.
One advantage we have as an organization is we're focused on a small set of issues. We're focused on land use, transportation, community design. So that means when something like the sinkhole comes up, we can jump right on it and give it the attention it deserves. In that case, we even, a couple months before it opened again, we went to VDOT, sat down with Darren Simpson at VDOT and said, okay, you've got the sinkhole problem addressed for now. Tell us what the long-range plan is. And we got him on record at the time saying that, you know, he didn't think this was going to open up again. Of course, it has, and we know why it has now, that they've put the cameras back down there. But again, you know, we have the benefit of focusing on a small set of issues. We don't have to worry about column space in the newspaper. We don't have to worry about how long the piece is. If we get some compelling video of the sinkhole, we'll put it out there and let people look at it.
Yeah, yeah. Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. And we want to explore this survey that y'all did, because some of the results out of this survey, and you've talked about some of them, but some of them are really amazing. And I'll tell you what, those folks on staff at Albemarle County or any elected person over there on the Planning Commission or the Board of Supervisors, they better be reading this report, because it's some of those things are quite an eye-opener.
We did go to the county staff in advance of releasing this and sat down with them and briefed them on what was going to be coming out in the news this week. So we wanted to give them that advantage.
Did they gulp really hard? Or?
Well, they could speak for themselves. But, I mean, a couple of the highlights. One that, you know, at first, no surprise, 95.4% of the public values the rural countryside in Albemarle County and sees that as important to their quality of life. Now, that's a high number. The county has documented that over the years. So, again, not a big surprise there. One question, though, that I don't think has been asked that also got a very high number, we found out that 81.4% of respondents said they would support using tax dollars to purchase development rights. You may have heard about a program called the Acquisition of Conservation Easements. So this is a way by which people can volunteer into the program. The county can buy their development rights. They get a tax break, and it's allowed, you know, for example, there was a farmer speaking last week when Albemarle County unveiled a photo exhibit at the county office building called Forever Albemarle. This was a photo exhibit celebrating the rural countryside and land protected by these conservation easements. What that means is the property owner can stay on their land. If they run a family farm, they can keep the family farm running. They have a lower tax rate, and it's more affordable for them. And at the same time, we as a community get the benefit of having the farm in our community, having land protected that's in our watershed, and we don't have development spreading out in the rural area, which causes other issues, transportation issues in particular.
So the community buys the development rights of a private landowner.
That's right. And Albemarle County is putting in $1.6 million into their budget this year to do more of that. But that, I don't think, had ever been asked of the community. How much do you support that?
And more than 8 out of 10 people support using public money to do this.
That's right.
But the person still owns the land, right?
They do.
So the farmer
can permanently protected.
The farmer can still turn around and sell the land.
That's right, but the easement will carry
it. But he sells it as more of like an estate rather than selling it to somebody that wants to build track homes.
Or a like-minded person who wants to keep the farm running.
Have a little farm, yeah.
Sure. So those were some interesting results. Now, one of the level of support for this next proposal was one of the more interesting things in the survey, and that was there's strong public support for policies like phasing or time-based zoning that would set a schedule for the rate of new development. So right now, Coy, in the rural area, if you own a piece of land that you could subdivide, you could create all the lots all at once and have houses out there. With phasing, it would set a schedule for those development rights. So you might only be able to create two lots every 10 years. That's what Albemarle County was looking at last year when they were considering a phasing policy. But the supervisors also talked about a rate that was even faster, one lot per year. We didn't specify a schedule. We just said to the public, would you support such a schedule that would set a timeline for these development
rights? And how many people supported?
77.8%. So almost 78% of the public said they would support such a policy.
Now, why is it then that when the county was having public hearings about this, the place was full of people saying, no, don't do this to my land?
Well, that's a it's a good question.
Because it looks like then that those people were in the minority, but they sure were loud.
Well, there were a few things I think that some of the speakers at the time didn't understand. We heard a lot of concerns from the public about would your family members be able to get a lot? Would you be able to sell a lot if you had economic hardship situations?
Right.
Both of those exemptions were in the proposed policy.
You could do those under this
plan. Right. Interestingly, when we asked the public what that did to their level of support for this, their support dropped. We said, okay, you know, we just asked you a question about having a schedule. What if that schedule allowed for family members? What if that schedule allowed for economic hardship? And support dropped. Now, in the focus groups, we talked about that. And one of the things we heard from the focus groups was people saying that they thought those things were being abused or had the potential to be abused. So their support dropped, and that was sort of backed up in the quantitative telephone survey.
Sort of like how developers abuse those tax credits for rural land where they just stick their land in some rural area for a while until it...
Well, we ask about the land use tax. I mean, that was another thing we ask about. The feedback there was mixed. I'll pull it up here maybe during the break, but and we can talk about that.
Because arguably, that's something that's definitely being abused. I mean, if you have like a Wendell Wood, for example, who takes a bunch of land, put it in a tax credit, the whole point of which being is to preserve rural land, but he only puts it in long enough until he wants to develop it.
Well, let's be clear.
What's
though,
the point?
Unfortunately, the state doesn't allow you to differentiate the application of land use differently in the growth area versus the rural area. So let's take a piece of property like Biscuit Run. Biscuit Run may be enrolled in land use now. It may be paying us a lower tax rate.
And that's what it's called, land use?
The land use taxation.
When you take rural land and you pay a cheaper tax
right.
on the land because you're saying you're not going to develop
right.
it.
But the county cannot say to the owners of Biscuit Run, hey, because we know you're going to develop this property, we want you to pay the full rate. It just doesn't work that way. The state doesn't allow them to treat them differently from the people out in the rural countryside.
But it sounds like a scam.
Well,
I mean, if you're a developer and you're putting your land in and you're paying less tax on it because you don't want to develop it for, say, 3 years, so you're going to pay cheaper tax on it for a while.
But, you know, the other side of that coin,
I mean, isn't that the very definition of abusing the point of the program?
Well, until recently, you know, Biscuit Run hasn't been developed, though. And I think some people would say because that land use taxation program was in place, that's delayed the development of something like Biscuit Run. It's a fair question. There's a lot of concern, as you mentioned, about whether that's getting abused or not. And I've heard people on both sides of that. Some supervisors are convinced that it has helped protect the county and is an important option for landowners, particularly in the rural area, where you know there they're not trying to abuse it for the most part.
They're
trying to keep their land rural and keep open space.
Keep the family farm open or whatever. And that was the whole point of the program,
understanding. I think it points out a weakness in the state legislation that enacted this. The other thing that would surprise people about the land use tax program, and we found that 58.4% of the people we asked supported it strongly or somewhat. So almost 60% support the land use tax program. But the rollback, if you then sell Biscuit Run, the rollback tax that you pay is only 5 years worth. And that's the maximum allowed by state law. So that's another issue in the state legislation.
Yeah, and real quick before we go to a news break here, the phasing thing, I would imagine that some of the supervisors are paying close attention to that because it's not a dead issue with the county, right?
It was off the table. The fact that it went off the table is what sparked Supervisor David Slutsky looking at transfer of development rights as another option.
Right.
But yeah, I hope they are looking at it carefully. Phasing, I think, is something that clearly has the community's support. And interestingly, Coy, when you look at the subgroups, it didn't matter whether these people lived in the rural countryside or in the urban areas. They supported at the same level.
Let's rejoin the conversation with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, announcing the results of a big survey they did recently about a host of issues, and we want to talk more about them. But first, let's go to the phones. Tom has been waiting very patiently on line one. Tom, you're on with Brian Wheeler. Go right ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Brian, this is really great work. I mean, I think it supports what a lot of people in and around Albemarle County have been saying for some time. When you get the community of Crozet presenting a petition to the board with over 1,000 signatures saying this is not the master plan we worked on, you can see why such a small percentage feel that their words are getting through to the board. I thought it was also very interesting your discussion on land use versus ACE. You essentially have a program where 80% of the people would support ACE and the county spending $1 million on that project, while you have 40% opposing land use and the county spending $13 million on that. You have to ask yourself, you know, what's wrong with this picture? And I would also point out, as we talked about, is that when you did your survey and that question about land use, you essentially were asking all comers. So you may have been asking people who were on the dole, so to speak. So that may be skewed, and it actually may be more opposition to it than was shown. Thanks.
That's good feedback, Tom. Thank you. You know, you raised the question about leadership, and Coy, that was one of those other things that came up in the focus group. What we found, in contrast to some of the surveys Albemarle County has done, where the county might ask a statement about, are there opportunities for citizen input? That returns a very high number. So when they've done that, they've gotten 81% of the public are satisfied that there are opportunities for citizen input. We asked the question a little differently, and we said, is government creating genuine public participation about growth and development decisions? So we asked the question differently. Certainly, we were targeting voters in our survey, whereas they were taking all citizens, whether they're registered or not. You can't compare them directly, but I think that speaks to one of the things our caller, Tom, was talking about.
And what were the results of that question that you asked?
Oh, yeah. I didn't tell you that, did I?
Because when the county, just to clarify this again, the county, when they do their surveys, they ask folks, and they ask whether you're a registered voter or not, they ask folks, is the county providing opportunities for input from the public? And that's always very high. But you asked...
When we ask, is government making decisions that benefit the community as a whole, 57% said they were satisfied with that, very or somewhat. When we ask about creating genuine public participation in growth and development decisions, 52%, it was 51.9%, said they were satisfied. And then we ask about government's efforts to make decisions to protect the rural countryside. How satisfied were voters with that? And there it was only 48.9%, so less than half the public satisfied with government's efforts on that front. Again, the questions are a little different. It's hard to compare.
But overall, it sounds like it's right down the middle, and that we have about half of the people out there in the county who, generally speaking, aren't satisfied with what's going on when it comes to growth and development.
Right. Is the cup half full or half empty?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to say, but that is how the data turned out.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow about the big new survey that they released yesterday. You can read the survey for yourself, all the results online at seavilletomorrow.org/survey. Let's go back to the phones. David's on line one. David, thanks so much for the call. You're on with Brian Wheeler. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you. I have not seen the survey yet, and I will go online to see it, but my one question is, was this a scientifically administered survey, or was this a random survey?
Good question. I'll tell you a little bit about the methodology. What we did was we had...
You had them throw the ping pongs at the cups? Was that it?
Well, a little more scientific than that, Coy. Thank you very much. We contracted with a group called Interviewing Service of America. They're one of the nation's largest research and data collection centers. They've got call centers running 24 hours a day doing international and United States surveys. We gave them a list of the registered voters, which we have access to because of the type of work we do. We had that voter list matched with phone numbers. That's something you can contract out. We hired a company, put as many phone numbers on the voter list as possible. So we turned over 45,932 voter names and numbers to this interviewing company. They took the survey and had...
All of which, just so folks don't think that you were digging through their garbage, all of this is public information.
Yeah, this is only if you have a published phone number.
Yeah.
And they interviewed 1,045 people. That gives you plus or minus 3% in the survey. If anyone's keeping track of the other details, the participation rate was 27%, and we asked 20 topical questions. We asked 9 demographic and qualifying questions. The survey took about 11 to 20 minutes. So again, yeah, we went out, found the experts that know how to do this, and we got a scientific result that I think we can share with the community and feel pretty good about.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
David, thanks so much for the call. We've got a phone line open at 977-1070 if you've got a comment or a question about the new survey results recently released by Charlottesville Tomorrow.
The other thing we did, Coy, was put online the entire questionnaire so everyone can see how the questions were phrased. We put all the data results so everyone can see the nitty-gritty of all the data. And we want to be very transparent about this and the results of this survey. We've taken this very seriously. Our board invested almost $51,000 in the focus groups and the telephone survey. So there's a reason a lot of local groups don't do this level of analysis. It takes a lot of resources. And I credit our board for supporting initiatives like this. We're going to do other surveys in the future. We'll look at issues in the city of Charlottesville. This happens to be a county-driven survey that we focused on initially. But we're going to take this approach, now that we've been through it, full circle, and apply it to other community issues that we're tracking.
Who was it, Brian, in the Daily Progress article today that said, I need to see how the questions were asked when it was regard to phasing? Who was that?
Yeah, Supervisor Lindsay Dorier was quoted in the Daily Progress coverage of our survey. And I'm going to appear before the Board of Supervisors during public comment tomorrow. Usually I'm on the other side of the microphone recording these meetings, and I'll speak to them tomorrow and give them a copy and make sure they have the results so they can look at them. Mr. Dorier said that he needed to see exactly how we phrased the question before he could really comment.
And the reason that came to my mind is because it's interesting that you're actually providing that, and anybody can go and look at it online, because a lot of times you'll see these surveys done by different groups and they'll just give you the results and everybody's thinking, yeah, but how did you ask the question? And so you're providing that. Well, we asked it exactly like this.
We are. And we got a lot of help crafting these questions so that they were as neutral as possible and were asking things in such a way that you weren't really trying to drive people towards a certain
outcome.
It's not
like a push pull, as they call it.
That's right. That was the last thing we wanted to be a part of. And I think that's backed up by the notion that we're not taking a position on these issues or the elected officials that we're talking about here. Our goal is to get the information out there in the public domain, let people digest it, talk about it, call into your program and raise questions about it, and advance the discussions here in the community.
Really fascinating study. And we are, it's wonderful that we're a community that has an organization like this. And really, let's face it, the only reason we can have it is because we have some wealthy people that live around here who are willing to support this and get this off the ground, because most communities can't afford their own to fund their own little C-SPAN or their own little group that really educates people about what their government is doing.
Well, I greatly appreciate our donors who have made this happen. And I want to say, right now that Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan group. Our donors are independents, Republicans, Democrats. Our board has independents, Democrats, Republicans. So these issues, I don't view through a partisan lens at the local level. And that shocks a lot of people who may have a partisan mindset. But at the local level, I've never seen the Democratic Party or the Republican Party platform on growth and development. If it exists, I hope somebody will send it to me. I've never seen that.
It's not like the Republicans come out and say, we're for phasing or, we're for land use. That's not so much of a partisan thing.
At the local level, I think it's about what kind of community we want to have. What sort of development pattern do we want to have? How can we connect land use and transportation issues and make better decisions? Charlottesville is going to grow. We are a destination community, so let's make sure it's quality growth. We think one of the ways we do that is by getting the best information out there about what the public's thinking, about best practices from other localities around the country, get that into the public realm, and let people make better decisions.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Big planning commission meeting tonight. We're talking about Albemarle County, the planning commission. Not the Board of Supervisors, but the folks who specifically get together to make planning recommendations to the Board of Supervisors.
Right. And they're appointed by the Board of Supervisors. I mean, that's something a lot of people
don't... That's not an elected seat?
It's not. No, they're appointed by the supervisors. They each represent a district. There's one at-large member.
Why wouldn't you run for that?
Well, maybe in other localities they do. Here, the final vote to put somebody on the Planning Commission is done by the whole board. But in practice, the board recognizes the wish of that... representative for that district and appoints their person.
Okay. So, patronage?
Well, it's a...
Is it like, we're a board, we have to be advised on these issues, we're going to pick our own advisory committee kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. And this meeting starts when?
6:00. They're talking about Places 29, which is the master plan, 20-year plan for 29 North. we had a caller from Crozet. Tom was talking about the Crozet master plan. That one's done. This one is the Places 29 plan.
Done and then done again.
Well, all these plans will be done and done again because every 5 years they'll come up for review and they'll be tweaked and modified. But this is the 29 North Corridor. So everything from, you know, Hydraulic Road all the way to the county line, basically. And tonight, it's going to be interesting because there have been a number of stories. Civil Weekly did a story today about NGIC and its expansion and the recent Planning Commission decision to allow for some expansion of that facility. That goes before the Board of Supervisors tomorrow. But tonight, because they're looking at the whole Places 29 master plan, they have to make some decisions about what types of use goes where. So do we have industrial here? Do we have commercial there, residential where?
Yeah.
Interesting to me, Coy, Wendell Wood, a property owner in that corridor, has no less than five different requests to have things modified to suit his plans for development in that corridor. Now, several of them have staff support, consultant support, and fit in, as they see it, the consultants and staff fit into the puzzle. They will recommend those changes. The two they are recommending are 30 acres next to the NGIC current facility on 29 North. That Mr. Wood's been on the air talking about that.
That's part of the whole big deal.
That's the NGIC land deal. So that 30 acres they are recommending.
I thought that came up, wasn't there supposed to be a public hearing about
that? Well, this is how we'll get to the public hearing.
Oh, okay.
If it's recommended as part of the master plan, then it will flow into public hearing process. Tonight is not a public hearing. Tonight is a work session, so the public's aware of that. So that one.
Say that again. Tonight is a work session.
A work session for the Albemarle County Planning
Commission. It's not one of those nights where they open up the microphones and people come and speak their minds.
Correct.
But it is a night where Charlottesville Tomorrow goes with their video cameras and their microphones.
We will be there. Yes. My colleague Sean is there right now setting up. So we will be covering.
So if you can't make it tonight, you can go to Seville Tomorrow.
Yeah, you
tomorrow
can watch the whole video.
And see the whole thing.
We're going to put the whole video up of this.
Okay.
And by the way, we did that. We'll have another Places 29 work session, and they were running it on Channel 10 in the city.
Oh, very cool.
So that was another way.
Your video.
Our video.
Cool.
That was the first time ever a county meeting has been on Channel 10. So let me finish up here. There were four other parcels. One is south of Hollymead Town Center. Mr. Wood's asking that the comprehensive plan land use designation be changed to allow a different kind of development there. In return, though, he is saying to the county, I'll help build Berkmar Drive Extended. In fact, I'll even help you build the bridge over the Ravanna, South Fork Ravanna River.
So that you could drive from behind Walmart and Sam's Club and go straight north
to Hollymead
over
Townsend.
The river,
that's
right into his Hollymead Townsend.
Right. So that's one, again, staff is saying, yeah, that makes sense. And there's a significant proffer from the developer as an incentive there. Two others, though, which we touched on in this area of Piney Mountain, which is part of our designated growth area, just north and east of NGIC, there's some other land Mr. Wood owns. He put in two requests to have the growth area expanded to include this land that he owns, and county staff is recommending against those two requests. They didn't see the need for additional residential and commercial expansion up there, while there are all these other places like Hollymead Town Center and North Point where that is happening. They didn't see the need right now because the corridor has so much room for additional growth. When you think about Albemarle Place, Hollymead Town Center, North Point, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. All those homes that are still in the pipeline that haven't yet been built.
Yep.
So just to clarify, Wendell Wood's going before the Planning Commission meeting tonight.
Well, I don't even know if he'll be there, but they're talking about his request
to move land out of the rural area and into development.
Correct. And some other ones to change the use.
To change the use. Interesting. Yep. So you'll be there tonight and you'll have the full report online at SeaVilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.